Hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a fan of Saturday morning cartoons. Welcome into our Saturday edition of our show. Of course, I am joined by the one and only vice mayor of Saturday mornings, Jesse Friedman, your Thunderstick. And Jesse, we have some potential criminals to talk about today. We have some potential, I guess we'll let the audience really decide here. We're going to present the facts for you. We're going to talk about some people that are behaving badly, at least maybe in my opinion. Jesse's going to be a little bit more impartial about it. But the first thing that we want to talk about, of course, is MLB memorabilia, Jesse. I'm a big fan of owning MLB memorabilia. I have a lot of pieces that mean a lot to me. And I even have a few pieces that might be worth some money, but not nearly as much money as Shohei Ohtani's very first home run ball as a Los Angeles Dodger, because that, I imagine, is worth some cash. And there was a fan who actually acquired this ball. It rolled to her feet and she picked it up. It's like the skies opened up and provided her with the winning lottery ticket, if you will. That's a pretty cool experience for something that unique and that expensive. This Dodgers fan name is Amber Roman. And again, there is a story about her interaction with the Los Angeles Dodgers after picking up this baseball.
So this is the seventh inning, I believe, of the Giants-Dodgers game on Wednesday. Shohei Ohtani hits his first home run as a member of the Dodgers, which somehow hadn't happened yet.
That's weird.
I mean, I guess this was only like game number 9 for the Dodgers. But if you're Amber Roman, you're in the stands, you are lucky enough to find this baseball. In that moment, it's basically like you've won the lottery.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's because it's not all luck in some ways, because you do have to probably do some pushing and shoving in order to get that baseball for yourself.
It sounded from the description a little bit like other people did the pushing and shoving, including her boyfriend. And then the ball eventually kind of rolled out. We know how this works, Jesse. I just described on the show this week about how Jack Summers and myself almost got killed by a Blaze Alexander foul ball, right?
Right.
The ball came in.
True. Yeah.
We wanted it to cleanly hit the back of the TV. It did not. It nicked the corner, became a ping pong ball, smashed Jack's water, smacked the ball in between two of us. But the most damning part of it, the worst part about it.
Where's the ball? Where's the ball, Derek?
Where is the ball, Jesse? The ball bounced back into the crowd, damn it. We didn't even have a chance to make a play on the ball, right? That's the worst part about it, is no matter how close you are to where the ball actually lands, you never know where it's going to end up. And in this case, it was very much luck that it ended up with Amber.
So Amber gets this baseball, and she's there with her husband, Alexis Venezuela. So it's both of them.
Boyfriend earlier. I'm
very, that's disrespectful. Disrespectful to Amber. Yeah, absolutely. Derek, unacceptable. So there are apparently, according to a story from The Athletic that I'm looking at, there were like more than a dozen Dodger Stadium security guards that show up because they want this baseball. This is Shohei Ohtani's first home run as a member of the Dodgers. They very much want this baseball.
That's not at all intimidating at all to have a dozen security guards approach you like you did something wrong simply because you got a home run baseball, which last time I checked, it was something that was allowed for fans to take home when they ended up with it.
Yeah, so a dozen or more security officials, they come to where these two people are sitting. And people around them, of course, their fellow Dodgers fans around them,
heroes,
are telling them, like, be smart. Like, don't just give this very, very, very valuable baseball away without doing some negotiating.
They were even telling the security that was discussing with it, they were yelling, reward them, right?
Right.
So it was... There was definitely
the security official told them that they would reward them for catching the ball.
And they really didn't, because the offer definitely was lower than you would think for a home run ball that could be worth up to and most likely above $100,000, Jesse.
Yeah.
And the part of this story that I really don't like is this next bit. It's what happened, Amber. It's what happened in general, right? You didn't have a member of the Dodgers front office or like, you know what I mean? You didn't have some sort of goodwill ambassador reach out to these people, come over, have a discussion, ask them if they want to go to a suite. You had a dozen security officers go over there, surround them, and then split them up so that her husband could not advise her when being asked what she wanted to do with this ball on his thoughts. And I think there was a coordinated effort specifically on purpose to take advantage of this fan.
Yes.
And to get the home run ball back for as little as you can, which is outrageous, outrageous, considering that this team supposedly has so much money and so many resources.
Well, they did before this offseason. Is that the narrative? Like, we got all the players, but we can't, like, we no longer have the resources to rightfully, you know, give people what to reward people who catch any of the valuable memorabilia that we come across along the way. Yeah, so they wind up leaving Dodger Stadium with two signed hats, a signed bat, and ball. That's the reward that they ultimately walk away with.
They said that they obviously considered it a low ball offer, but took it. And it took it in part to the fact that team officials included the threat of refusing to authenticate the baseball should she decide to take it home. That's bullshit. That right there is bullshit. And I mean that because, Jesse, the authenticator, which I have met at Chase Field several times. I've met two of them, and they're very nice gentlemen. They actually have several jobs besides just authenticating. They tend to, if I'm getting this correct, because these are the guys that have, they have the little sheet of the hologram MLB logos, and when you catch a ball, you catch a fly ball or whatever, they are the ones that authenticate that it actually came from a baseball game by applying that hologram sticker to it. They also write down in a book what the number is on that serial number that's on the little hologram, and then they write down the date, the inning, everything about what happened with that ball. So they're also kind of, you know, timekeepers. They are historians. They are logging these events, and they are making sure that this ball is forever tethered to being the correct ball from this event. They are impartial. They are of nothing to do with the team. They also, I think, like I said, this is another one of their duties. They collect like broken bats and they send them back to a lab so that the lab can analyze how the bats broke and make sure that bats, but things continue to get safer in Major League Baseball for players and everybody involved, right? They want to try to make sure the bats don't shatter in a certain way that could be dangerous. So they're trying to study that. These guys have other jobs there, but their job is from Major League Baseball. They are not employees or shouldn't be employees of the Dodgers or any particular team. They are impartial, and their job is to be there to make sure that these items get authenticated. The threat of not authenticating it is straight. If that is correct, if that is true, because of course this is their account of it, and we have no way to really know if they were in fact told this, right? But based on their account, that is just absolute horseshit.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up. Separating this woman from her husband, also just like, I don't, if I were in her shoes, no matter what the situation is, like any scenario that involves me being like intentionally separated from the person I came with would just be very uncomfortable.
But how safe do you feel at Dodger Stadium, period? She's a Dodgers fan. She was at Dodger Stadium. Like, the fact that your own home stadium security did this to you, like, it would make me feel uncomfortable going to baseball games going forward. And speaking of going to baseball games, they could have given this woman free season tickets for next year, right? Like, they could have offered them so much more than the amount that they offered him. Instead, they gave them two hats, a bat, all signed by Shohei Ohtani, and a baseball signed by Shohei Ohtani.
And that was a bump from the initial offer,
which was just the two
signed hats.
Right. Now, on top of that, you also have another controversy here where Shohei Ohtani said in his post-game press conference According to his interpreter, and this is not the same interpreter that stole a bunch of money from him.
This is not eBay.
This is not eBay. This is Will Arnton.
Great theater. It was eBay.
But through his interpreter, Ohtani said, "I was able to talk to the fan and was able to get it back. Obviously, it's a very special ball. A lot of feelings toward it. I'm very grateful that it's back." And then, of course, that fan proceeded to say they never actually met Shohei Ohtani. So there was no meeting. There was no, you know, none of this. Never met nor talked to Ohtani. And that, of course, makes this even worse because it makes it feel like, you know, it makes it feel like they knew that they were lowballing her and they had to kind of lie about the situation just to make it seem like those people got more than they actually did.
Yeah. And that's a customary part of this process
as
well. If you catch like a really important baseball for a specific player, generally you get to meet the player. You get to have a kind of a cool one-on-one interaction where you take a picture, you get all your autographs signed and all that stuff.
And the Diamondbacks are wonderful about this. I have seen them do this. And again, I've seen them do this even with a guy that did not give the ball up. He still got to meet like Christian Walker and take a photo with him. If I'm not mistaken, one person that caught an important home run ball, like got invited back to like throw out a first pitch and stuff. That's the kind of way that a team should honor someone, especially if they do give up that item and they do allow for the team to have important, you know, control of an important historical item like that. Right. But they should be compensated and compensated well. The total value of these items. I mean, Jesse and I kind of poked around on eBay and such. Tried to find out, the article has them listed as about $1,000 each.
Yeah.
So about a total of $4,000. We went online and found a couple of Ohtani items. They are very rare. You're not going to go on eBay and find a lot of autographed Ohtani merchandise. But
yeah,
the items we found, it ranged in value from $1,500 for a hat to about, we saw bats, special edition bats that were like $6,500, maybe even $8,000. Overall, you could probably price this at a high estimate of about 10 grand, but still that is 10% of what we know that this ball is worth, not to even mention what this ball could potentially be worth should this fan have just held on to it and waited years to sell it down the line.
Yeah.
Obviously, authenticating it is the most important part of that process should the fan have wanted to do that. So when you talk about the most dirtbag move here, if it is true, it's the threat of not authenticating it for the fan. That's the part that really makes this just absolutely atrocious, a bad look for a team that claims to have so much money and honestly so much control of this situation. They could have given this person so much more than they did. They could have actually let this person meet Shohei Ohtani. They could have followed through on all the things that they said that they did. That probably would have made this a non-story. Imagine if Ohtani just pops his jersey off right then and meeting it and gives it to him. And they get like signed hat, signed bat. He gave him a game-worn jersey. He got to meet him. They got pictures with him. Like that, those small gestures that wouldn't have cost the team even that much more money because they have fucking closets filled with jerseys would have at least made this go a little bit further. You know,
The jersey's a good point. That feels like there's a glaring lack of a jersey in the bounty that the Dodgers ultimately gave to these people. And I'm curious if you're Amber Roman and you're in this situation and you're there with your wife out at the ballpark and you get separated from her and they've got you sequestered and they're trying to get this baseball from you. Under the threat of not authenticating it, if you don't give it to them, what do you do? Do you walk away with it? Do you just say you're going to keep it?
I know too much about baseball myself because I know that the authenticator is an impartial MLB employee. I would stand there with the ball and not fucking leave the stadium until they authenticated it.
Interesting.
And I absolutely wouldn't have taken anything for that ball. Nothing, not a thing. There was not enough you could offer me. Unless I walked out of there with a barrel full of cash. If that's what you offered me, then you can have the ball. Outside of that, you ain't getting that ball from me. And I am not leaving until they're authenticating. And see, I'm not a fan. I know the process. So I would contact people in MLB. I would start sending messages to like the fucking MLB Twitter account. I would totally see this as the team
doing this to me and not MLB, because I know Major League Baseball would never approve.
Would not stand for
would
that
not
kind of
stand
stuff.
For this, yeah. Right? So, like, that's the route I would go.
So the Dodgers have to write you a check for $100,000 before you leave that ballpark without
probably,
the baseball.
Honestly, like, even if it's worth that much, I probably wouldn't have expected that much. But if the Dodgers sat there and if their first offer, if their first offer out of the gate was, we are going to write you a check for $50,000 right now, I'd be like DEREK space MONTI, two L's and an A. Here's your ball. Give me my check. Like, they could have given me half the amount, but if they paid it to me in cash and it's going to be that right there in that moment, especially if it, like, I might, the only reason why I might have held off is if they came out of the gate with $50,000, I'm like, oh, they're definitely going to give me more. Like, I'm not, yeah. I'm gonna wait for offer maybe three before I start to accept this. But in my head, I'm already deciding on what tropical island I'm going to go to with that $50,000, Jesse. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, because it is one of those things that Shohei, you never know what's going to happen with those Shohei Ohtani. He could go on to be the player we all know and think he's going to be. Or he's,
yeah, I mean, likely first ballot Hall of Famer. Right.
Correct.
I mean, someone
right.
will forever
just
remember.
A generational talent.
Yeah.
However, there is that chance in sports, because we've had players this happen to, where maybe he doesn't go down that path from this point forward. Maybe he has a mediocre career going forward. And if that's the case,
that feels very impossible.
It does.
But
it absolutely does. It absolutely does. But
I almost think Ohtani would already be a Hall of Famer if he retired tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just because of the legend status that he's built, and the fact that you cannot tell the story of baseball without him at this point.
That's fair. But he hasn't had a chance to really mess it up yet. Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is only his seventh season in the majors. Yeah.
Well, this gambling thing has been the first thing to kind of, you know, give
That's
me any
fair.
Kind
That's
of
fair.
Anything
yes.
against him. Right. So, but my point being is that, like, even a guy, I don't know. There's players in baseball I've seen that seem like they were unstoppable and then they just weren't anymore. I don't know why, but Ryan Howard comes to mind once they
yeah,
picked up on how to shift on
It's not really
Howard.
Unusual for right. players to be really, really good for their first 6 or 7 years and then kind of crater after that. But it's just that Ohtani being the two-way player and all this stuff,
correct.
It almost feels impossible that he wouldn't get that
and,
kind of recognition.
And I'm not saying that he would, but I'm just saying as far as value goes, right now, I don't know if I'm going to see tomorrow, Jesse. I don't know if I'm going to live to the end of this week. So, I mean, sometimes you, like, that's what I'm saying. When you ask me that question, that is my answer 100%. Like, I'm not saying I wouldn't take nothing for the ball, but I would take money. I'm not taking, I have so much
stuff in my house. What if they gave you enough memorabilia and jerseys and hats and stuff that you knew you could sell for whatever the rough equivalent cost of the baseball is, $80,000-$100,000,
sure.
something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably something I would consider, but that would probably be like a haul so big that it would be hard to say no to.
Yeah.
Like again, you're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. The entire starting lineup tonight, every single one of them is going to give you their jersey. They're all going to autograph it, every single one of them.
That'd be pretty sick.
Right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Sick. Like, yeah. And again, in the grand scheme of things, that probably cost the Dodgers nothing in comparison to real money, because they have more jerseys for these guys.
Yeah.
And those jerseys are just jerseys. Like, a lot of times, oh, you snagged your jersey. All right, well, we're going to go sell this in the, you know, in the authentic shop and we'll get you a new one. Right. So it's like, it's not like they don't do that. Those jerseys are worth money because they can sell them in their authentic shop. I'm just saying it's a hard thing. It's a very, very hard thing to believe that a team couldn't have made this offer so big. Also, not as a terrible experience, not feeling
yeah,
like
that's
you were
really
separated.
The big, that's really
like,
the big
it
problem.
It really
here.
Feels like you did everything intentionally. Like, you really wanted to separate this poor woman from the person she was with. It could be a husband, it could be a brother, it could be her dad, it could be just a friend. And, you know, being separated is intimidating, you know? I don't really react well in these situations. So when you say, how would I have gone? Things would not
you
have gone well.
You would have been a mess.
Oh, well, no, because like one time Megaran and myself went to the Fiesta Bowl and we were invited guests. We were invited as influencers to come to this like lounge area that they had set up in the Fiesta Bowl where you could hang out on like couches and stuff and watch the game. When we got there, we had like this faux ticket thing from these people that was supposed to be scannable. And the security guards just refused to believe that we had real tickets. they kept telling us that our tickets were for like a tailgating event that had happened earlier in the day.
Mm.
And it got to a point where the security guards at the State Farm Stadium all circled around us, which I did not care for one bit, Jesse. Yeah, and it's like, sometimes you don't know how you're going to react in those situations. I did not react well. I was ready to fight any one of those security guards that wanted to step into the circle with me and duke it out, right? So it's like, I felt like I was moments away from being basically thrown out of the event and banned, whether my ticket was correct or not. And luckily, a supervisor came in, told every single one of those security guards how wrong they were for what they were doing, and told them where the like area was. And next thing you know, we're up watching the football game. But that could have turned very bad simply because of the way that they chose to handle it. There was no need to have 8 security guards come over and surround me and my friend just because I was getting a little irate at the idea that they had no idea our tickets were real tickets when we were invited guests of the Fiesta Bowl itself. Like the Fiesta
that's
Bowl.
That's pretty egregious.
And now it was a failed opportunity on both the people organizing the event and security. Like everybody kind of added up there. And like this might be that same thing. This might be security guards being overzealous when they were never told to handle a situation like this.
Or there must have been a breakdown at some point, because I can't imagine that like everyone in the Dodgers organization was universally like, yes, this is how we treat
this
people.
This is how we handle these situations.
Who catch like legendary baseballs in our franchise's history.
Yeah.
And it seems like my last thing on this, just looking at their quotes here kind of at the end of this story at The Athletic, Amber's husband, he said, "Where was the Dodger love that we see every day, every time we go? It just disappeared. We were kind of left stranded. It's not necessarily that we wanted a million, just something nice. Take care of your fans, especially when they got something that's way more valuable." So yeah, it's just about valuing your fans well, and the Dodgers did not do that in this situation.
It sucks, and it feels like you did something wrong when you simply bought a ticket and attended a game and were lucky enough to have a home run ball land near you. That's supposed to be a fun experience. It's supposed to be exciting. But when it's a historic baseball, it is kind of like you won the lottery, right? We have stuff like this happen. You know, we have the 50-50 raffle, right? That's a game of chance. You go in, you throw your money in, you win it. Can you imagine winning the 50-50 raffle and then having Chuck Boyer come over and shake you down for it back? I know you won 50 grand tonight, but I want that money. Here's a baseball signed by Christian Walker and a Brandon Pfaadt, you know, hat. Like, get out of here, Chuck. Anyway, I just had to
Chuck would never.
I love Chuck so much. He's the best. But speaking of people here in the Valley that might not be the best, we do have a situation involving a local former baseball player, maybe going a little crazy with his own personal field of dreams. JJ Hardy is upsetting his neighbors, Jesse, and this is East Valley problems, so I might need you to step in and help me out with this a little bit. But building a baseball field in your backyard, very cool. Building one that has poles that go up all the way to touch the sky, maybe not so much.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite baseball stories of the year already, it's not going to be easily supplanted by anything else. So apparently, former major leaguer JJ Hardy lives right here in our backyard in Chandler, Arizona,
and about 30 miles away from downtown Phoenix, where we're currently at.
For those who don't know, JJ Hardy was a pretty good baseball player. Yep. Never played for the Diamondbacks, Brewers, Orioles.
Orioles. I always remember him as an Oriole.
Yeah, 13 year career, 188 career home runs. Had himself a pretty solid major league career. But he decides that he is going to build, as you said, his own field of dreams in his backyard in Chandler. And for people who are familiar with the East Valley, some of you might live there. There's the whole thing is a bunch of HOA neighborhoods. Like, that's what the East Valley is,
that's
right?
What it's supposed to be.
It's a bunch of families who are, you know, often my parents still live in Chandler. It's a very friendly, A lot of neighbors are friendly. It's a good place to raise a family. I understand why people live there.
I'll take it over from here. Let me. I know you don't want to besmirch your parents' neighbors. It's very clean, and they get really mad when you put junk and crap outside. That's why they have HOAs.
Thank you.
They have HOAs because they don't want to let their neighbors let their trees get overgrown or park 20 cars in their garage or their driveway, and that's why HOAs exist. In reality,
my parents have an HOA in their neighborhood, and there have been no shortage of incidents over the 20 years or whatever it's been since they've lived there where they're taking pictures of pretty like minute things and being like, you have to, you cannot leave that trash can there.
Yep. You can't, like, you can't put it out 2 days out.
Yeah. You can't do that. I remember my parents, when they painted their house, there was a big deal about them painting like the fence next to it. Mm-hmm. The HOA was not on board with that. So yes, HOAs, East Valley HOA is very uptight about things, but this is one situation where I could maybe understand why they would be a little bit uptight.
Here's the problem though, Jesse. Here is the problem. Hardy, his home, is on a county island where he does not have to adhere to any HOA rules. It is absolutely fucking lawless over there on JJ Hardy's property. You can do whatever you want. The police can't stop us at all, Jesse. But that's got to be the most frustrating part, because with an HOA, even though they do that, like they do it to me all the time, they do it my damn palm trees. My palm trees are always overgrown. And then even one time I had a landscaper slip and my palm trees aren't skinned, but he kind of skinned it a little bit. They sent me a letter telling me how I had to skin the rest of it. You have no idea how angry I got about that. So that's a whole other fight I had. But this man, again, lawless island that he lives on as far as HOAs are concerned.
It's JJ Hardy just outsmarted the system here. I mean, let's be real here. He's like JJ Hardy, he has it figured out. But his Pam Lang lives across the street, and she is the one who reached out to our friends over at AZ Family and wanted to tell them this whole story.
Yeah.
And this is a quote from her. She said, "Everybody has a right to enjoy their own yard, but this is something that is beyond what is reasonable to expect your neighbors to tolerate." Later in the story, she says, "I didn't sign up to live next to a baseball field. It's like a commercial, like living next to Top Golf, you know?
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
We can't show it because obviously this is an audio podcast and things don't work that way.
That is how
these
things work.
Basically what she's seeing as a neighbor on the other side of the wall right now are these giant poles that
20
go
feet.
Up,
yeah.
20 feet poles, 20 foot tall poles. Those poles, presuming what they're going to hold is a net that they can hit the ball and make sure that the ball does not go out of the yard. I'm conflicted here, Jesse, because on one hand, what do you want? Do you want the poles there, or do you want your car getting hit with baseballs all the time? Right? Like when we hit dingers, I don't want to fucking hear you. If I take this net down, I don't want to hear it from you because this baseball field is happening, whether you like it or not. The pole and the net is for your safety, not ours, lady.
I mean, it's the backstop though, right? Like you wouldn't have dingers going. I don't think this would prevent dingers.
I see what you're saying.
I think
because if not, you're going to hit. No, bullshit, Jesse, because if not, you're hitting the ball at the house?
Yeah, I think JJ Hardy's putting his house on the line here, man.
I don't think so. I think that's going to be an outfield wall. I think they're going to have, I don't know. We have to wait until eventually we're going to see how this all works out because he will finish it. But
we're going to figure out which neighborhood this is.
Shane
is going to have some drones just like kind of circling the area for the next few months. And we're going to keep an eye on this for sure.
I think as a homeowner, I feel both ways here, right? Like, because I've had some stupid shit I've had to deal with, right? And like, including someone, the house behind me burned down.
Oh, I
and then they just
story.
Abandoned it and left it there for 5 years. And I just had to stare at this burned down house. I had cats that went missing that presumably died in that house. I don't really know.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, because it's a giant burned down house. And it's like cats are hard enough to keep inside, let alone if it's like a cat that kind of gets out, goes on your fence, kind of walks around.
Yeah.
They're going to be tempted to go into a structure like that. And I, like, my cat used to bring mice home from that building. Like, it was a nightmare for me. And no matter how much I contacted the HOA, there was nothing they could do about it because it was beyond their reach. It wound up being like a city and a county issue more than anything. And until these people, like, basically gave up their property, I had to deal with that. But now I have this beautiful view of the sky. There's no home there. The lot is completely empty. But I don't know what could be built there, Jesse. At any time, someone could come in and build some giant two-story house that just stares down in my backyard all the time. My life could be changed that quickly, and I would be furious about it. I also have a go-kart track in my neighborhood that's not close to me. It's like actually quite far away, but they are so loud because these are like real racing go-karts. This isn't like a go-kart track just for fun. Oh. These are people actually racing each other in like race go-karts. And it is so loud, Jesse. I can't even sit in my backyard and just hang out because it sounds like I live like 5 miles away from PIR during a, you know, during a NASCAR race. It's just me all that's all night long. It's like midnight. That's what's happening in my backyard. I hate all of that. At the end of the day, though, there's nothing I can do about any of this stuff. And it's like, as much as it bothers me, it's just a fact of life. This guy's house is across the street from this lady. There is a street in between it. Like, there might be another neighbor here also that also has to back up to it. Like, this sucks. And I'm not saying that Hardy is in the right for being able to put up gigantic 20-foot tall poles and have that be okay. Unfortunately, though, like we said earlier, he might have outsmarted the system on this one, because if he is not part of your HOA and he is not part of any HOA, there's very little that you're going to be able to do about this besides go over there and ask him if you can play ball.
Look, as avid supporters of backyard baseball, it's really hard for me to hate on this too
right,
much.
I am
so intrigued at what the final product is going to look like here. Like, as we said earlier, we have to get over there and you know, absolutely play some baseball at the stadium.
Knock on the door with my hat on backwards and be like, I am Pablo Sanchez. Let me hit the ball.
My only question here, Derek, the only question I would pose to JJ Hardy is, you made over $78 million in your major league career. True story. I'm on Baseball Reference right now. JJ Hardy's career earnings, over $78 million.
That's a lot of money.
Could you not live in a different neighborhood? That what, like, that's the kind of money where you can buy a house and have tons of property and yeah, not have anyone anywhere close to you.
I see.
And
you can build
an entire stadium in your backyard at that point. So that's my one gripe here on JJ's side. I love the idea, but
it's proximity,
I wonder,
right? Yeah. Like, I don't want to drive out to where Johnny Venerable's house is to play baseball.
Nobody wants to drive
Nobody
out to Johnny
ever
Venerable's
wants
house.
To go out to
no.
Maricopa. I want to play in
he
my
moved,
backyard.
In Johnny's defense,
that's
he moved.
True.
He, moved.
That's true.
He lives closer to civilization now.
Yeah. The problem here is that even when things are close, how long until that baseball field isn't being used anymore? Right. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's cool. It's neat. Trust me, I'm speaking as a man that has an arcade in my house. How often do I play those games? I'm not even going to answer that question, because it's definitely it's going to make a lot of people sad. They'll be like, why do you even have those if you don't play them? I don't know. I just want them there. That's the way it happened. I had disposable income at the time, which I don't anymore. But that's why those are there. I don't know. I mean, I really do think, obviously, if he's building this from the perspective of having like his kids play there, club ball, you know, like using it as an actual facility to help younger players get better at baseball and come there and use it because they don't have a field, then that's cool. But if there is a baseball field a half a mile away from you that's perfectly fine, and you're just doing this in your backyard because you want a baseball field in your backyard, you might kind of be a dick. I don't know.
I really hope He finishes it somehow. Maybe he finds a way to make it a little bit nicer for the neighbors.
Sure.
He puts his house up for sale. And then when we're looking for a new PHNX headquarters,
brilliant,
in the matter of, you know, a year or two, whatever it is,
yes,
maybe we target JJ Hardy's former house.
I love this idea. He's definitely putting stadium lights up in there, and it's going to set that woman off. She's going to lose her mind when she sees
the stadium lights. I would fully feel so bad for everyone in that neighborhood if we reach the stadium lights phase. But Maricopa County officials, according to this AZ Family story, did say that Hardy has until April 22nd to get the proper permits to finish his Field of Dreams. So, you know, it is a county island, but apparently it's not completely lawless. I guess there are still some hoops that he has to jump through in order to pull this off. So stay tuned. We'll see how this turns out.
Well, we do appreciate you guys being here for our PHNX Sports audio only podcast here. If you haven't subscribed to our channel yet or subscribed on your favorite audio podcast, do so now. We love when we get those reviews. Those 5-star reviews help us out quite a bit. Of course, you can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for being here today. We appreciate your time. We'll see you next time. And until then, remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you play it at an actual field and not in your backyard.